the best part of the project. It's my favorite part, just helping out the babies a little bit more.
Jaime Peña is kneeling on the beach, just a few feet from the Gulf of Mexico. Before him is a plastic tray filled with Kemp's Ridley sea turtle hatchlings, newborn turtles just 4 inches long. One by one, Peña places the hatchlings on the sand and watches them crawl into the sea.
As operations director for the project, I deal a lot with the governments and permits and this and that, but I mean, this makes everything worthwhile and more.
Peña is a conservation biologist with the Gladys Porter Zoo in Brownsville. He's been with the Sea Turtle Project since 1994 and is now the U.S. operations director for all the turtle recovery camps in Mexico.
In 1995, Dr. Patrick Birchfield, the U.S. Field Group Coordinator, asked me to come for 2 months to Rancho Nuevo, and I said, sure, why not? You know, pack my stuff, I want to stay there at the beach for 2 months. But then I saw a nesting female, and like you say, it clicked, and I immediately fell in love, and right there and then was the moment that I realized that I wanted to do this for the rest of my life.
We're at Tepehuajes, the northernmost turtle camp within the 125-kilometer stretch of beach where 90% of the world's Ridley turtle population nests. Rancho Nuevo, just south of here, is ground zero for Ridley nesting. It was here in 1947 that Andres Herrera shot film that rocked the wildlife science world, showing an arribada, or arrival, of an estimated 40,000 female turtles on a single day. In the years that followed, however, human poachers and natural predators took an alarming toll on the Ridley. Nesting numbers dropped steadily to a record low of only 702 turtles in 1985, the dark days when many scientists believe nothing could stop the turtles' headlong plunge toward extinction. Lately, things have improved, a lot, but it's been no accident. For 3 decades now, each spring and summer, scientists, graduate students, and volunteers come to live in the turtle camps. They patrol the beaches, looking for tracks in the sand, signs of a nesting female. They carefully dig up the eggs and rebury them inside protected corrals, where they're safe from poachers and predators. The work is hot, the conditions remote and primitive, but it's paid off.
The turtle reaches sexual maturity at 10 years of age, so basically I'm seeing my daughters come back and nest. But I can only imagine how people like Jaime Ortiz, the camp coordinator here at Tepehuajes, feels. He has been doing this since 1978, and back in those days, if you had 1,000 turtles a year, that was a lot. And we're talking about 3,000 turtles in one day back in May 11th. So it's incredible. It's an incredible feeling to be part of this. It's a great privilege.
Although the U.S. has provided money and manpower, the Ridley recovery is happening on Mexican soil, where Mexican scientists and students play key roles. Octaviano Perez Tolentino supervises turtle recovery camps for the Mexican state of Tamaulipas.
Lo más importante de hoy en la noche es que vamos a liberar una gran cantidad de crías en todos los campamentos.
Tonight is a big event because all camps that are involved with Kemp's Ridley Sea Turtle will release many, many turtles. And he's hoping that in 15 years, these turtles will return to the same area to begin the nesting process.
The turtle camps needed more all-terrain vehicles to patrol beaches and better facilities where workers could stay, things the governments couldn't always provide. Help came from an unexpected source in 1995 when a new partner emerged on the scene.
It was a biologist out of Brownsville, Texas, from the Gladys Porter Zoo that made a presentation to our seafood industry at one of our association meetings, and he explained to us how important it was to keep a balance in nature, and that if you lose a species, it has an effect on another species that has an effect on another species. And if we want to maintain a good shrimp stock out in the Gulf, we've got to maintain a healthy environment for all the different animals out there.
Les Hodgson is co-owner of Marco Sales, a Brownsville shrimp wholesaler. Shrimpers had been blamed as one reason for the Kemp's Ridley turtles' decline, and in the 1990s, they were required to start using turtle excluder devices, holes in shrimp trawls that allow sea turtles to escape and avoid drowning. Hodgson began a crusade to get U.S. shrimpers into the Ridley Recovery Project. He approached Wild American Shrimp, the marketing group that represents shrimpers in 8 U.S. states along the Gulf and Atlantic. A fluent Spanish speaker, he also got Mexican shrimpers involved.
Together, the Mexican industry bought the property here, the U.S. industry bought the material for this camp at Tepehuajes, and between the fishermen from both countries, we spent a month and a half, 2 months down here building the 12-bed facility for the biologists that run this camp.
The shrimpers also worked with environmental conservation groups to lobby the U.S. government for continued funding in years when lean federal budgets threatened the project.
What we're talking about is the health of our marine environment of our Gulf of Mexico. And it's to our benefit in the shrimp industry not to lose another species out of the Gulf. This was the animal that was most critically endangered. Many of the biologists said that there was no way to bring it back, that we'd already lost another species. And so we feel very good about the fact that this one is heading in the right direction now.
Headed in the right direction, but not all the way home. The recovery plan calls for a total of 10,000 nesting females to downlist the species from endangered to threatened. If current trends continue, Pena says the project could hit that mark by 2012.
We cannot look at 2,000 turtle arrivada in Rancho Nuevo on May 11th as, okay, that's it, wow, we got it, the turtle's recovered, let's pack it up and go home. No, not at all. This is the one-yard line. We cannot stop right now. But I think this is the example to follow in conservation projects, not only for sea turtles, but for any endangered species. If you can have federal governments, state governments, and local governments, fisheries industries, universities, and NGOs from both countries working together, that's the key for conservation success. That is the key, cooperation.
From Tepehuajes on the Mexican Gulf Coast, this is Tom Harvey reporting.